Hello, and today at Uncle Data we have Rytis Jonas Zolubas, and how he said, when I asked him, you know, how to introduce him, he went with, introduce me as a good person. But then, you know, he came up, yeah, so he's a founder of a data consultancy agency, and this is actually going to be a topic what we're going to talk about. We're going to discuss about pros and cons of working with an agency versus having an in-house data team, in what scenarios one works, in what others, you know, and Rytis is going to give us some examples, you know, or like, you know, case studies of where he was and what he went through, you know, here. But of course, you know, so since it's the first time Rytis is on this podcast, so Rytis, introduce yourself.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me here. I don't know. You can check my LinkedIn. I don't know how to introduce myself.
That's brief.
That's brief. But yeah, I'm self-taught data analyst, engineer, architect as of now. I did not study computer science, but through some online courses and through some great people who decided to hire me on data analytics journey. So I've been working in this area for about 6 years now, something like that. And I still love it. It's very fast and changing environment, new tools, and I'm glad to be here to talk
to you. So then, natural question, how did you went, you know, from being, you know, an employee at some company and then, you know, switch to, you know, consultant and opening your consultant's agency?
I believe it was about 5 years ago. And I just decided to give it a shot. You know, what's the worst that can happen? And thankfully, the company that I was working as a full-time employee before, because they needed people, they hired me again, but through the different, through my company. So,
okay.
And later it would be like referrals, LinkedIn, and just like that.
Okay. So I guess the majority of the listeners, you know, are working as FTEs, right? So could you share more like about, you know, like what's the most difficult thing when you're running your agency or you're you know, a consultant?
Yeah, it's multiple things, to be honest, because you also need not only to do data analytics architecture, but you also need to find clients, hire new employees, train them. So yeah, it's not super easy, especially in the beginning, but it's very rewarding because I had an opportunity to work in with different industries, with different set of problems, with different tools. But yeah, I would say it's the attention, division of attention, probably, because if you have several clients during the day, and as the rule goes, when one client something starts burning or something starts falling apart, probably all the other clients as well. So you're just like typing in the Slack and just like trying to extinguish all the fires at the same time. And then there are more periods of calm when you just do day-to-day work.
Okay, so if let's say, you know, US East one goes down, you know, like, and you're having a fun day then, right?
Yeah, even with on-prem services, I think there is like a conspiracy theory or something that they decide to delete the production database or something, all the clients at the same time.
So, you know, what's the best way, you know, to wake up in the morning? Just drop the production database, right? So I guess, you know, that the joke didn't come from nowhere, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Coffee doesn't wake you up as good as the
okay.
Dropping production database.
Okay, nice. So Okay, so what I think, you know, how we can structure, you know, and since you covered, you know, both sides, right, of FTE and I guess consultant. So what would you say, you know, are the pros of like, if you are a company, right, and you're deciding, you know, to scale your data team or like, you know, start with it, right, or run with a contract with an agency, right? What would you say would be the pros of agency?
I believe the biggest pros are maybe for scale-ups, because it's quite a difficult, most like for a scale-up companies from that sense, because you need something fast and you usually already exhaust all your Google Sheets. It's already like a big mess, so you decide to have a nice data warehouse and so on and so forth. And it's nice to have someone with a lot of experience to come in and just to set all the infrastructure, all the pipelines and everything. And then that consultant can work as a subject matter expert or the ways can part, and that's that's totally fine. I also help companies after that stage to hire their first data analyst that can actually start working and extracting even more value from the data.
Okay. So then on this, you know, a question, right? So do you have some templates already? You know, like I know that, you know, each company is, you know, is a unique case, you know, their, you know, a set of tools, you know, their processes and whatnot. Is there a way to streamline, you know, let's say in like a template, some parts of your job?
Yes.
Yes. Very brief answer.
Yes. So it all starts with gathering requirements, of course, and understanding the current landscape, because sometimes clients already have their preferred cloud provider or something. So it's the what they currently have, what's their environment, what data sources they have or want or plan to have, and they want to extract data from it. And then just looking for the best tools for the client, gathering the requirements once again, the priorities, what should be done first, digging a little bit into the business logic, what they calculate, what they measure, how they measure. And yes, of course, it's usually a tricky thing because especially in the young companies, there is no documentation. I personally used to hate documentation with all my heart, especially writing it, but now I see more and more value in it. So for example, let's say sales. In different departments, it can mean different things. Let's say marketing sales are the sales of sold goods. Then for financials, sales may be the same sales minus refunds, minus VAT, additional taxes. For some other guys, it might have another different formula. So I think it's nice in the very beginning to agree on definitions company-wide and even split them. But at least when people are talking about sales, they're talking about exactly the same thing and they know what it means. So like marketing sales or finance sales, at least you name it differently and you define it. And at least you know what people are talking about.
Okay.
So this is like example how you would start when you approach a client or client approaches you with their needs.
Okay. So technically, so since you covered, you know, if client approaches or, you know, basically the pre-contract stage, right? So you mentioned, you know, that you're looking for clients, you know, or they're based on referrals coming to you back, right? So I'm thinking, you know, how all of the process goes there, right? If you have multiple clients, right, approaching you or like via referrals or whatnot, and you have limited time, how do you choose, you know, with what to work with what company, right, or what to put on the backlog if they're okay with that?
Yeah, that's also a good question. Of course, you're even as a consultant, you work for yourself, let's say, but you still work for someone else. So it's like choosing a boss. You know, you see if you vibe with the people that want to hire your services. And also, it depends the next step, because sometimes you might have a lot of experience in one industry. So it's relatively easy to implement because you've done it a lot of time. But at the same time, you want to go to a new industry or check like the new tools that they might be open to use. So there's a lot of factors. And of course, if they're willing to pay, that's also quite important.
That's fair. So in your situation, right? So how long is the period, you know, from actually, you know, starting or like, you know, from the lead conversion to a contract? How long does it take?
It also depends. The fastest one, I think, after a call next day may already give you all the access and you just start working. But these are the best type of clients because they completely have trust in you. And they know, but in order to get these clients, they usually come from referrals. Someone else recommend you because you did a good job for them. So they know you're qualified to do that. So they don't ask a lot of unimportant questions, and they actually try to listen to you as well. They don't try to be experts where they probably not the experts. But the longer ones, probably a month or two, because more and more times the data, people see value in data, so they prioritize it. So they want to see results quick.
Yeah, I guess with the hype of LLMs, you know, like having the data, you know, accurate and whatnot, it puts also a bigger emphasis, like actually nowadays, especially.
I guess we could do a different podcast about the Maslow pyramid of data needs in the company, where AI is like
now AI is on top. Everyone wants it. We need everything.
Yeah, it is always on top, but first you need to do all the tedious work.
No one wants exactly. to do that. Exactly. We want it done. Okay. So since you mentioned, you know, that, like, you know, it takes, you know, around from 1 to 2 months, right? So from my experience, that comes like now a good situation where we can compare, you know, actually, you know, let's say, in-house versus agency, right? Because the hiring terms, right? It also depends. It can vary, you know, for like, depending on how many interviews. So I guess the fastest in my experience, I had 3 weeks, whole process. Plus by the law, it was like 20 working days. So it's also like around 3 weeks. So like 6 weeks in total. So somewhere there, let's add onboarding. So it's also similar thing. Why would you, like, you know, on the very, very perfect scenario, right? Do you have any other pros compared, you know, to the in-house team? You know, what value it more brings, you know, if the time to start things is the same? I'm going to provoke
this
you now.
This is the actual, I don't know if we talked about the same thing, but when I was talking about the lead, when you actually agree to work together.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So this is the lead, but if we're talking about when you start work and when you get the job done, usually it's 2-3 weeks and you already have results. It really depends on the client. But it's quite fast once you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also a big pro and con. Just a pro to hire agency, because they get things fast and they avoid usual pitfalls that a lot of first time doers do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already did that many times. So hopefully we've learned from it.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully. We still do mistakes. We're human, but we try to not do them.
Okay. So You mentioned you're doing a lot of, you know, talks with, you know, like executives, you know, like managers, you know, just understand, you know, the company, its specifics, you know, like the KPI meanings and whatnot, right? So, well, I'm thinking, you know, this is also kind of an onboarding process, right? From your experience, right? How long does it take to get the streamlined things from the customer in this situation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Usually, yeah, you still need someone to explain you what the columns mean in the backend database. But I don't know. It also comes from experience that the more businesses you've seen, you understand, you also have like a framework inside your mind and then some minor tweaks. Because at the top of everything is profit, is P&L, and then everything goes downstream. So you try to understand how the money is made, where it's spent, marketing, whatnot. But there are a lot, even seemingly different industries, they still do pretty much the same analytics, to be honest.
I assume, you know, if you're using, let's say you're focusing as a marketing part, like as I see, you know, you're written on your LinkedIn, right? Marketing solutions. As I understand, we don't have that many various, you know, sources, and they're all coming mostly, you know, from third party tools, right? So I guess you can also streamline, you know, Google ads, Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, whatever ads, you know, there are. So it already will be a good blueprint, you know, of starting things out, just to figure out, you know, how it all connects.
Yeah. And then it's also understanding that data that comes in. It requires to read a lot of documentation as well. Like, you know, for example, in Google, through the API, you can get spend. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then you also need to know, you need to know what currency is it. And then you don't need to forget to divide it by 1 million because it's in micros. So just like a small things and check for duplicates, because when you get from API, you also need to check at network type and partner and like mobile device. So sometimes the same ad might be, or campaign ID might be split into three rows and you think it's duplicates, and then you delete them and then amounts don't match. So
beautiful. And then I guess, you know, okay, so if we're talking about marketing, so would you say that marketing attribution is the toughest and most difficult task, you know, to like solve?
I think it's one of the most important ones, because it correlates quite directly with the revenue and then with the profit. Mm-hmm. If you're doing marketing correctly, it might be negative profit as well. But I don't think it's something too difficult. It takes time probably just to understand it. Mm-hmm. But once you grasp the concept regarding customer journeys and how the tracking works, it's just putting some hands-on work and try to do, because as always, there are maybe 20-30% coming from direct. What you're gonna do about them? I don't know. You can do some online after purchase polls so user can click, where did you hear about this? But is it gonna be good? I don't know. Maybe not.
Will the user in the end, you know, will even check the correct one, right? Maybe he just wants to get that over.
Gradio. Because I know they put a false one on purpose. Then like statistics come to play to see how you can be confident. And also you need to shuffle the answers for each user.
That's also true, because by default, if you figure out the pattern, just like click on the first one or the bottom one. Okay.
Yeah, but then you can know the pattern and to see how many radios were clicked on the first, and to know how reliable your prediction is.
So then it's a bit different. Yeah, it's more like of user behavior, you know, figuring out who's trying to trick the system, whatnot. But yeah, I get it.
But yeah, then you can attribute direct a little bit, maybe with some confidence intervals, but
okay.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned, you know, like, let's say, you know, confidence intervals, you know, like we're talking about now a bit statistics, you know, like you mentioned engineering things. So let's talk about, you know, the qualities of the consultant in general. I think that's also important to understand that it's not a jack of like the single, how to say, the single warrior of one domain, right? So how big of a jack of all trades are you? What do you have to know? Or how deep you have to know certain things?
I consider myself maybe a little bit more as a generalist. I know how to do things that they would work. I might not know in depth how it works, but it works.
As long as it
using,
works.
I'm using a library, like a Python library. I know what it does, how it works inside. Same with the car. Well, I know how the car works, but even if I wouldn't, I would just turn the key and it runs. So, yeah, basic skills, some data engineering, SQL, of course, that's very important. Python, data modeling, you know, like Kimball or Data Vault. There are like many new ones to choose what's the best for the company. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say just with SQL, you have a really good start, but you would need to know SQL quite well. Like if you cannot explain, then you need to know how to explain certain functions, like how Windows function work. It's for me, it was a game changer. Windows functions, it was this
rank, dense rank, right? These kind of
some
things.
Some row number.
Row
number is the best. I almost always use it. Or count over to check for duplicates, and it shows the exactly duplicated rows. Does it leave just one entry?
Okay, so you know, like we're doing in this interview, and I'm like, you know, catching on some phrases you use. So one you mentioned, like data modeling, you know. So would you say that there is a pattern in certain industries in your situation or your experience, right? That some specific industries are choosing one standard, or like you're preferring one standard over the other?
Yeah, for me, I try to keep it simple. I usually use what's it called? I already forgot the name of that modeling technique. So I'm not very
star schema, snowflake schema.
Yeah, it's a star schema.
Yeah, so
just a simple one. It's really easy to understand. Everyone can see. Okay, there's these are facts, these are dimensions. Because this is, I think, one of the most tricky parts with the when you're building a data warehouse, because it's structure and how the tables are inside that are ready for consumption totally differ from the backend database.
Of course.
Because backend database is not interested in your analytics. It's just interested in rows, transaction IDs, and so on and so forth. So you need to build a mental map. Okay, this is a transaction, this transaction item, this transaction comes from this order comes from customer, this customer is loyal, not loyal, and then you need to map it out a little bit how everything connects, as well as with cardinalities, and then, okay, customer 360, identifying customers, it's another pain in the
soft place.
When you have the different emails with capitals, with dots, and you need to identify, is that the same customer or not?
Yeah. Okay. So we were seeing, you know, a trend also like on LinkedIn, at least on my end, right? I'm seeing that, you know, people are like buzzing, oh, one big table, you know, it's going to save us all and whatnot. So have you seen any use cases? So like, what's your opinion of companies' adoption of this approach? Is going to be a pain in some good place?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Because if you have one big table with a bunch of columns and something doesn't work, it will take you forever to figure out from which join or from which aggregator, from what. But there are a lot of use cases I encountered, mostly with people who want to do like machine learning. they need a lot of parameters. So you create like infinite, like 300, 400 wide tables for them to ingest, because this is how they want to do that. Of course, there are tools that would leave all this aside from me, but some clients are maybe a little bit old school and they don't, maybe even don't have time to learn new things. So they just prefer to go through good old regression models and they just need a bunch of parameters.
If it works, it works, you know.
But not a big fan. Not a big fan. I would prefer to build a view, not a table. That's another one. And in some databases, you can write views that must, or tables that must use a where condition to filter through the dates.
Oh, yeah.
For example.
And otherwise, it's going to be a very, very costly initiative, right? If you're running on BigQuery and you just forget to not use select star and not use remove filtering and whatnot, then just suddenly there's a bill of 2 months usages just because you forgot something. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Moving forward, right? You mentioned about the infrastructure, right? So, and I saw you were quite active at Airbyte. So let's talk about technical expertise needed of actually being a one-man team, right? How much do you have to do deployments of, let's say some specific applications for the customer?
Depends as well. Some customers have their own cloud engineers, so they help to set up or write some Terraform, some other scripts and templates, and they spin it up for you. But my advice would be, especially in the beginning, use hosted tools. It will save you a lot of trouble. It will save you a lot of time. If it's possible, of course. And you always need to check if the costs are okay. And once you done your first part and you can see, okay, it makes sense to move to an instance in AWS or Google Compute, only then you should think about it. Because DevOps and DataOps, probably most DevOps, it's just like... You need to know a lot. You need to read a lot of documentation. You need to make sure that all the versions are all right, because for some version it works, for another not. I tried to install Airbyte in CentOS server. I don't remember for what reason. It took me like a week to make it work. So yeah, a lot of, you need to know how to read documentation, how to read logs, just the basic. Also programming, understanding why something's not working, Googling, and ChatGPT, if you can use and it works for you. Because I tried the free version to do some Spark jobs on AWS Glue, but the free version goes only up to 2021. And they provided me solution, but these libraries don't exist anymore. They were deprecated and they were deleted. I'm like, hey, could you write me the same script, but with a different function that's like from the started package?
Nope. Sorry.
Yes, but no. So yeah, I'm still working on parsing XMLs automatically.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. So good luck on that, but I hate XMLs with all my heart.
It's a stupid format. I found a really nice solution for JSONs, but for XMLs, it's...
Okay. So, let's talk about, cons about working with agency as well as, having your in-house team. So for me, the obvious con usually is the price and the time to actual result, right? So yeah, if the hiring doesn't go that well, right, it might take a half a year, maybe, to actually have a person, then you have to onboard it. If he doesn't have, the actual market or like the industry experience, that also takes time. Also, if let's say your tasks are not super complicated, right, there's not going to be much growth, for that person. So he's gonna most likely at some point just say, yeah, I'm not going anywhere here, right? So I'm just gonna quit. And actually, you know, the domain is quite static where you just, you know, you learn the ins and outs and you're good to go, right? Nothing else, you know, will pop up unless some groundbreaking change is gonna happen on the company, right? So what would you say, you know, is common in this situation of like working with an agency?
Yeah, with an agency, it's...
I know I'm asking, you know, to take a crap on your lawn, you know, but it's interesting to see, you know, the perspective.
It's fine. Definitely not everyone needs agency. It's about the complexity, importance of the data. And the most con would be that the expertise would go away,
mm-hmm.
you know, because once the assignment is finished, we usually move on. And regarding pricing, it also depends. Like it's always, you know, quality, time, and price, famous triangle.
Choose two.
And if you want something of good quality and fast, it's gonna be expensive. So
yeah, that's fair. Okay. So I'm gonna chip in, you know, from what I heard from my ex-colleagues, you know, and people in general. I kind of talked about, you know, working with some consultants, you know, how the things go and whatnot. So I would say, you know, that you mentioned, you know, that a lot of your leads goes because of referrals, right? So I would say, you know, that in my situation, like what I've heard, the issue is a bit different, that actually, you know, people create crappy solutions to make it fast. So they go with fast and cheap option, right? And then, you know, someone has to clean that up. And then they hire someone like extremely, extremely costly, right? To actually fix that up, right? So it's gonna create double costs. And that's, I guess, you know, in my eyes, you know, it's like, not beneficial. And if you would have like a person inside, you know, already, you know, a FTE, right, he would have to anyway deal with that crap, right? So he wouldn't, you know,
they still could have built the crap, but
yeah, but they have to maintain it, right? But then it's like one and gone, right? Money ends and see you, bye. It's not my issue anymore, right?
Yeah, I guess it's especially in data field, it's a common problem, because when you hire the consultant, there is probably no one in the company who has even the slightest about how it should look. So you have complete freedom most of the time, which is nice. But also you need to be responsible and do things right and explain because to the customers, because if they say, hey, why it's taking so long? Hey, why your country's ISO code sometimes have two letters, sometimes three? I don't know.
I need to figure it out.
I need to fix it. I need to tell them. So your reporting would run after a year, after two, after 3 years. And it's also, you need to think about scale as well. Because you can do a solution, you know, for 100 rows, but you would also need to have in mind what happens when it's like 100 million rows, how it scales. And there are nice tools like DBT that can help you at least maintain the SLAs for delivering the data, only taking the updated ad fields and not reprocessing the entire data.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's always a risk with full-time employees or consultants, because you you're putting money on the table. But with consultants, I think the most important and hardest part is to earn a reputation.
Yeah.
Once you have at least some reputation, some satisfied customers, then you can land maybe new gigs. But until then, it's you might need to do it maybe cheaper, maybe team up with someone as well, you know, maybe go to work on a bigger project with other people. And document, write about your struggles. It's extremely helpful in any way, as for yourself, to look back in retrospective, as for others, learn from your mistakes. and for others to see that you've done these mistakes and you understand that these were mistakes and how you fix them and what you learned from it.
Yeah.
So actually, so once again, documentation comes into play in some form or another.
Yeah, I'm thinking now, you know, that in general, you know, when you reach certain seniority level, right, it's more documentation you write than, you know, code lines, right? That's what actually you're doing, the impact. And on general thing, like what I've talked with Yev on the previous episode is that actually, like, if you make your code, you know, let's say more explainable, right, you write a lot about it, it's easier for people to understand it and to actually show your value in general, right? So like you said, you know, you don't have to repeat yourself, you know, you have a very nice KPI, right? Less questions asked, right? If that KPI goes down, you're doing great, you know. If it goes up, you know, something is not working. And I guess in your situation, right, it goes with brand recognition as well, right? If you're putting out blog posts or, like, you know, sharing with things on social, right, you're also getting visibility because people who are reading those are actually, you know, seeing, you know, that you're not, you know, some, you know, crazy dude, you know, just copy-pasting from free ChatGPT, you know, version.
Oh, I am crazy, but not that kind of crazy.
Just, you know, like, and change a couple of words and, like, written by me, you know. But, yeah, so reputation, I guess, comes from that as well. Of course, if you mess up, right, your reputation goes down and turn it back up, it's a hell of a job, right?
Yeah, usually, of course, everyone fails. It also happened to me, but it's mostly because of the... When you fail fast. Don't stick to the same solution. Just switch approach or pivot or return the money and say please find someone else, and they will respect you for that. You know, if you're not experienced enough to do something, which initially you thought you would be. Yeah. I had this case with a big e-commerce and just like a headphones producer in Scandinavia. And they wanted to see everything in one dashboard, but then they wouldn't disclose or agree to send to the warehouse the retail data. And you can imagine people are spending a lot of money in online marketing, which brings them to the webpage, and then people just go to the store and buy it. and you lose and some billboards and everything. And I was like, I want to do things well and, you know, looking at the business, because I think it was like 50-50, like a lot of stores were selling the production. So it was quite big on retail and traditional retail and e-commerce. And I'm like, I just lose interest because I'm not interested in playing politics. I even met with the CFO, with this guy, and he said, it's just not going to happen. It's not happening. And I'm like,
fair enough.
My job here is done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But it's not all roses, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Around sometimes you get some bad or nasty clients, and you just need to identify them as quickly as possible. Probably just with the initial conversations before you sign a contract or agreement to start working.
So, since you mentioned, you know, like about nasty, you know, toxic clients, whatnot, any tips how to identify those?
Yes. Like arrogant people tend to be know-it-all. So if you see that people are not treating you or others with respect, it's probably going to be a bad gig. As well, you need to identify who's the actual decision maker. Because a lot of times, like, marketing wants to hire to do, like, all this attribution, but then their budget is by head of marketing or something that's not involved into talks, and you talk, and it's all nice, and it's all great, and when it comes time to sign off, they didn't get the approval, and you're like...
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. It was nice 10 hours from my life talking about how I may help you, but I cannot help you without money. So,
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
But yeah, and I don't I this is just my personal preference, but I try not to work clients who use Azure Cloud or Microsoft Cloud. It's just like my I'm just not a big fan of Microsoft, and I had worked with MSQL, you know, the database,
yep,
with the DSQL, and I'm like, why people do this to themselves?
It has its own good use cases in some situations, like every other data tool, right? But yeah, let's see. Azure's like with the data fabric. At some point, they might break out. But anyway, I understand your love is on AWS or GCP anyway, and it actually makes sense.
Yes. Haven't had a chance to try Alibaba Cloud. Hopefully, that day would never come.
You know, like maybe, you know, someone will reach out and say we're doing exclusive, you know, things in China, you know, and I have to deal with Alibaba.
It might be. I'm just joking.
Money talks, you know.
Money talks.
Okay. Another question, you know, like is like if you're deciding, you know, to switch, you know, to like consultancy from FTE, right? So. How about the holidays, right? That's the interesting part, right? Because, you know, usually by law, you know, you have some specific amount of holidays, right? How do you do it with your holidays? Because you can work 24/7 technically, 365 a year, and not go for vacation. You know, how does that work in consultancy world?
I would say pretty much like full-time employee. It depends on the project. For short duration projects, you're not expected to take any holidays. You expect to get the job done. But for longer assignments or not determined duration assignments, usually agree before signing the contract. Let's say like during a year, 4 weeks is fine. You're gonna notice them before 2 or 3 weeks, or find a replacement who still keep working. The replacement one is the best, but it's very hard, especially for small projects, because you would need to explain to another person who's replacing you all the things. So maybe that's another.
That's true.
That's another pro for documentation. Just document everything, record everything.
Just, you know, sit with a camera, do a live stream, and, you know, like put somewhere, and then someone else.
Storage is cheap now. We don't need VHS cassettes or CDs anymore.
Yeah, you can use GPU, you know, now, you know, to extract certain bits, and you like, you know, add some automatic transcripts, right, where you're talking with yourself, you know, during the night. Control F it. But yeah, jokes aside, right? Okay, so vacation part is quite clear. If you're running multiple projects, I guess, you know, you agree to go on holidays, you know, if they're overlapping, right, most likely agree on the same dates, so they wouldn't actually, you know, interrupt you, so that actually makes sense. And then let's talk about the interesting part, right? So when to choose. So in your situation, right, when would you suggest for a company to actually choose in-house? And when to start to think about, you know, agency?
I would say if you manage to find a senior position person, like the first data hire should be a senior.
Of course. Of course.
Period. Yes. A lot of people think, hey, we're just going to hire this guy. He's going to do something. But then technical depth, it's behind the window, the pile of rubbish is there. If you manage to land a good senior data member who is good in data engineering, analytics, and architecture, and is confident have built from scratch all the analytics solution before, I would say hire this guy. And if you don't find it, you don't find him, her, I would be, and it also depends how fast do you need. Because there are some businesses where data is more important than others. If it costs you a lot not to see the entire picture or a bigger picture or it takes a lot of time and you get wrong numbers and you base your decision on these numbers, that's not good. That's going to cost you a lot. And it's cheaper to hire agency to do the work well. And as well, if you have already like a lot of, if you have a bigger company and you need to solve a specific problem, which is going to take specific period, like specific amount of time, you also would hire a consultant to help you with that.
Yeah, I guess.
Otherwise, in-house...
You can scale them in almost indefinitely.
And the third one, especially maybe for bigger projects or companies, sometimes they cannot hire new full-time employees, but they have a budget on the project. Solution? You hire agency to do all the work. I don't know if you have encountered this paradox, Tom,
yes.
Where people
yes.
just want to stop hiring,
yes.
but they still have a lot of projects and they need to get it done.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, but then it makes sense, right? Come in, but then you have to think of, like, depending on what to outsource in a way, right?
Like, yes, what to yes. hire. So this is, essentially outsourcing. So these are more specific type of consultants like SAP and HANA and like very niche ones that it's very difficult to, and you just don't need the expert in house after that. When it's done, you hire him again in 6 months to change one column. He's going to charge you 2,000.
That's going to be fine.
It's going to be done.
So, like, you get an understanding of those, systems, and you can get paid till you're dead. Kind of cobble.
Yes, and the fourth reason to hire, even if you hired someone senior as a first data team, is for them not to be alone. We're a human creature, we need to socialize.
Can relate.
But jokes aside, it's really nice to have someone to discuss about the problem and maybe come up with a solution and hear another side, because when you're making decisions only by yourself and doing all the solution, you sometimes don't see pitfalls. You lack some experience in one. You just get blindfolded. No one's going to tell you, from the side, hey, you might want to check this one. Is that really the best tool for real-time analytics?
Yep.
So, even like a few hours, just to discuss and work more on data strategy and more on architecture side. It's also sometimes worthwhile to hire only for a few hours. It would cost some money, not a lot, maybe like 2 hours per week or so, but it would get your company data, that person or other team members, to maybe a bit higher level, because they would also hear from more experienced person.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Do you see any tendencies, on which areas? Since you mentioned you're picking the industries in a way, or like, you're focusing on marketing at this point, but you're, the work you're doing, it's in different industries. So the question is, are there tendencies in certain industries to approach agencies more rather than others?
Yes. Yes.
Which ones are tending to go with agencies more?
Those who have more money.
Money talks
like fintechs, again. Fintechs like that. And as well, you don't increase the headcount. Well-funded startups usually would try to hire that senior because for startup, for growth. But sometimes when the company, everything in the company goes well and there is a lot of growth, sometimes they don't manage to find. So they just need to, move from Google Sheets to Data Warehouse or from Excel.
Yeah.
And they just need to get it done. So when there's urgency, when they reach a certain threshold and when they're not thought about it, and there's a row limit in Excel to reach 1 million,
yep.
48,000 something. I think it's like 128-bit or something that it's it's done. You cannot update your model. You lose your all historical data if you want.
You can increase number of Excel files you have to open, you know, to run something, you know?
Oh, yeah. You can extend in different sheets. And...
yeah, repeat after me. Excel is not a database, you know? That's the best thing.
Oh, I think this is my biggest nightmare by working with the financial guys, because they put the date as a column. You know, they do the pivot.
Yeah.
And okay, how am I supposed to ingest that? You know, there's a new column appearing every time. Just do like nice ones and then do the pivot. But no, they want to see like metrics and so on and so forth. But
that's specific to the, you know, the area specialist, right? Finance is always a fun and interesting place.
Oh, yeah. And they decide to create, start their tables in the middle of the sheet because, you know, like, well, why not?
Spacing. You have to space it properly, right?
Like double, like merging the cells. So much fun.
You're the expert here, you know, figure it out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay. I think at this point, I kind of figured out, I guess, what's needed. Any other pitfalls or like things you would suggest, you know, or like, you know, explain to people if they actually decide, you know, actually to switch to consulting, or for the companies, you know, if they're thinking actually, you know, of one or the other? Last minute, you know, suggestions, thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, for people who want to do consultancy, do it on the side for your full-time job at first. See if you like it. See how it goes. And it's definitely not for everyone. You know, some people like to work in large corporations. Some people like to work in startups. Some people like to work in mid-sized companies, some like specific industry. And it's, try it out without leaving your job.
Having the safety net helps.
Exactly. Just figure out if it scales, if you're doing a good job, if you manage, because there's a lot of play apart from analytics. You need to be a bit of accountant of your consultancy, CEO, marketing,
sales,
leaving other, signing off the vacation request and stuff like that. So it's not for everyone. It's a bit, just try it for yourself if you want to. And for companies who have a specific problems or cannot find good data specialists, try to look. There are quite a number in Lithuania and in Europe good consultants, depending on the project. If you want a boutique one, like smaller, like more concentrated on you want to go for the big names, it works. And it's good because in the end you see the result. You know, it's not like strategy consultant, but they just came in and point exactly same problems, but CEO needed to hire a consultant to show these problems to the...
You need fancy presentation, you know,
exactly,
come on.
Exactly,
everybody wants fancy
PowerPointing all the way.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, about the, you know, there are, you know, multiple companies for, you know, consultancies, big names and whatnot. How to find those consultancy agencies then? Just, you know, I would Google it, you know, like just, you know, like consultancy agents, you know, but how to know if it's actually a good one or not? Or you won't.
Probably you would check their LinkedIn.
Ah, okay.
You see who are the people of the agency, like the heads and so on. Then you can check, see if they have any case studies. Whether they have already dealt maybe with your specific problem or your specific industry.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, you can always just have a call with them and talk with them. Usually, But again, that's a difficult one, because if you have no idea, a person might just talk nicely and confident and say a lot of buzzwords like Pikachu, Spark, and all that Pokemon. I remember this meme where it was like for, I think, IT recruiters.
Yeah, like six lines of text, right? Figure out what's a Pokemon.
And spot which one of like IT tools, which of them are Pokemon. So if you cannot do that, probably, yeah. And you can always like ask for maybe initial solutions or how they would solve the problem, you know, in a more general way. And you see if the approach and how they talk and how they approach the problem. That's the most important part. Because I personally usually don't do project-based pricing for one very obvious reason, because data is dirty, is not clean. A lot of issues might come up, which I can say, okay, in perfect scenario, it would take 1 week. But with your data, it would take half a year. But I don't know until you hire me. I go distinct values, so on and so forth. So yeah, it's hard to choose good ones, but yeah, ask around, ask for some references. Maybe some of your friends know someone who maybe knows someone, or they know directly someone. Yeah, or you can call me as well.
Nice. Okay, makes sense. So again, wrapping it up. So, god damn it, almost felt. So that's gonna end up in the stream. So with that note, you know, thank you, Ritas, for joining me, and for the listeners, see you in the other episodes.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Take care.